welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all review Campo Viejo's Reserva from Spain. Further on the potpourri, Becky and Scott are pitted against each other in a debate over AVAs and which one is superior. So sit back, relax, and listen to Scott make a fool out of himself here on the Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's so good to be here. Rob, how are you doing tonight?
I am special in many, many, many ways.
Okay.
Popular? Are you popular? Popular.
Maybe.
I'm so nervous about this episode when he starts it off that way.
I know.
Sorry. Well. Also, I am joined by the Triple B.
Good evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, and everybody else, we tonight have a wine on the show that has been brought to us by the unlicensed taxi driver, which most generally is bad. It's a bad thing.
You didn't say scary.
It's terrifying in a certain sense. I mean, it is quite traumatic sometimes.
Well,
it causes night sweats for me sometimes.
I love when I'm being bad stuff at your behest.
That's true. So on tonight's show, we have a special wine from a special place by a special producer, but, you know, hey, that's all a lie. But nevertheless, it's Campo Viejo, which is, for those that don't know, the largest producer in Rioja. This is their Reserva, but not just any Reserva.
No, no, no.
This is the Art Series. And I know you're asking right now, Rob, what is the Art Series? The Art Series is just the Reserva with a shitty-looking label.
Yeah.
Completely shitty with, looking label.
What are those things that little kids get and you look through it?
A kaleidoscope.
Yeah. They did some kaleidoscope art on the front of it.
That's
it
all
really
there
is. Kaleidoscope art.
And quite frankly, there are other art series out there like Kenwood. I know what you're thinking. Their artist series that actually has art on it. Woodward Canyon, they have some art series stuff. It is
also has
artistic.
Some gold bedazzling on the sides.
Yeah. There's many others that, you know, a Pierre Jouet. It's a hand-painted bottle. This has stupid-ass kaleidoscope shit on the front. But nevertheless.
The back label also has unnecessary quotation marks.
It does.
It's so annoying.
Do we have a rule on that?
I don't know, but there should be. The whole label is in quotation marks, and it doesn't say who quoted it.
Now, this, though, obviously was a method by which they were trying to get this wine to sell. Scott, how did you come across this wine? Was it at full price?
I don't recall.
Where'd you find
it? I recall. It was on closeout, was it not?
Sounds right.
Yes, it was.
I felt a little bit like that was a deposition.
Usually we write the price
was
point
it not?
On the label, and we did not in this case.
Well, I know what the price point is. It's about $14, $15. What
so
you
what
paid?
Was it on closeout?
Who knows? Less than that. Although Scott probably paid 19, given his track record.
Well,
you know.
Scott, what initially drew you to this?
Oh, just Rioja.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't. It was the kaleidoscope.
I know. Was it the bedazzling?
A wine with kaleidoscope eyes.
Didn't have my glasses on. Couldn't really see it. I'm like, oh, that's bright and sparkly.
Was it in like the grocery cart closeout bins?
Those are the worst.
I feel like that's 90% of what we drink on this show is shit you found in the frozen food aisle.
Damn.
It is.
That's harsh.
That's just not true.
Yes, it is.
Now, Scott did bring something to the wine vault that's about 18 years too old that was in the frozen food aisle. Bravo on that one. That's great. It's like, yeah. What does this wine taste 6 years after it was released? Well, let's find out. Tastes like sawdust. Nevertheless, the Campo Viejo Reserva Art Series from Rioja in Spain. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to provide you with excellent, deep, dark information about this wine, as well as deep, dark information about the unlicensed taxi driver here on the Wine Vault.
unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So off air, I reminded Scott what his name was, since it's he helpful. Can't remember anything else.
Well, it's just all a false memory.
That's right. We're going to start off with the intern. Well, the person subbing in for the intern, the Triple B. She's been doing a little bit of, well, a little looky-loo on this wine. Becky, have you found anything about this wine?
About this wine in particular?
No, about any wine in particular. No, yes,
I didn't
this
know
wine.
I thought maybe we were going to talk about the winery.
Well, that's what I meant. The winery wine.
Okay, the winery.
Yeah.
So the winery does have a focus on women.
Focus on women.
Yeah.
Well, you mean a focus on women or it focuses on women?
I'm getting a little Harvey Weinstein.
I mean, a little upskirt cam kind of thing. Is that what we're talking about here?
Awful. So
cat cam?
Their chief winemaker is a woman.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
And
that's
several of their like top winemakers are women.
Okay, that makes it a little less inappropriate probably.
I think it's like actually really nice. Although I always feel like when people are like, look at this woman, she's the head of our winemaking or whatever it is. Look at this woman. It's like, are there any other women that work here? Or is that like, this is the only woman you have that you have to like put out in front of everyone else?
Well, I kind of find that to be sexist, but that's okay.
What?
What you just said. I'm enlightened, though, so.
Okay.
You are.
So there's Elena. She was born in Logrono.
Okay, we've been there. Mm-hmm. Scott, have you been to Logrono?
I've not been to Logrono.
Okay.
She was the granddaughter of a grower. It was virtually inevitable that she would end up with vines and wines.
Just like Samuel Robert.
Without the motocross track.
That's right. And the patches.
We don't know. They might have
coat with
one.
Patches.
Oh. Well, yeah. I just don't know.
We don't know that they don't have one.
Yeah.
A lot of winemakers wear that, regardless of their sex.
An expert in Rioja winemaking, Elena has an unmatched experience in working with Tempranillo.
Mm. Oh. Mm.
I adore working with Tempranillo. It's such a versatile grape. I love seeing the many different ways it can express its character in such a diverse range of wines.
Ooh. That's very prophetic. But didn't she say that in Spanish?
No.
Well, she said it in English.
I mean, it doesn't say it's translated.
She's bilingual. She's
educated.
No. Wow. Oh.
Mm-hmm. She also helps.
Don't go of go Europe. They
she also
learn
helped design. She also helped design the new Campo Viejo winery from the early stages, has allowed her to create the ideal conditions to continue her love affair with Tempranillo.
Mm. Whose thought of it was the fucking art series? Is that hers?
Such a great question.
No. Yeah. That was her brother, Fredo.
Fredo.
Then there's Clara.
Clara.
A winemaker.
She's just a winemaker?
Yeah, she's not a chief. But she's worked in winemaking in Australia, South Africa, Argentina, New Zealand, and obviously Spain.
You might say she gets around. That's terrible.
In 2011, she knew it was time to come back to her home.
In
so
Spain?
She... Rioja. So she joined the winemaking team at Campo Viejo.
Ooh. In other words, she got canned all the other places.
Yeah.
She couldn't cut it in Argentina. It's like, son of a bitch.
Don't cry for me, Miss Clara.
It was this or
the
Uruguay.
There's also Irene, also from Logrono.
Come on, Irene.
She studied pharmacy.
I swear.
And then she followed her passion for wine. Went to the University of La Rioja.
That's an internet school, isn't it?
Pushed oxycodone until she got busted, then had to get a job, and she's in the winemaking.
That's right.
Irene is very pretty.
What? I mean, don't let Scott see that. He'll be
a pervert.
That's
true. Irene's very pretty.
But what, the other ones look like trolls
or something?
Actually,
I don't know. That might be Elena. They only have, I think.
They just put Elena out there. The other ones are like, you know.
I don't know.
She showed up at a baseball game with a former president.
You don't go outside.
I mean. Yeah, well, I don't know.
Just send Elena.
Basically. She's like the Christine Turley of the of Campo Viejo.
The other ones are like, Well, I found some information.
They also have a live uncorked theme.
Live uncorked?
It means to live every day to the fullest. That's stupid.
It, does, yeah. it doesn't actually mean that.
Cliche.
Yeah.
Is it? Slightly.
Slightly?
Did you know they have the nutritional information on their website?
That's fantastic.
Would you like to know some of that? I just want to touch
on. They also have Streets of Color events. Maybe we should do those. And that's when you do everything in kaleidoscope. You know who? What this reminds me of? Vigna Borgia. That's exactly what that looks like. It is. It is, isn't it?
It's not really all that impressive, but yeah.
That's what it reminds me of.
Okay, here we go.
Not only do they have an art series with bad kaleidoscopic art, they have events
that all around the world.
Postulize it.
Would you like to know how many calories are in a 5-ounce serving of this wine?
You know, I would love to know how many calories are in a 5-ounce pour of this wine.
119.
119.
That's not bad.
Would you like to know how many carbs?
6.
1.4.
Love dry carbs.
That's right.
Welcome to the keto cult. Dry wine. Right.
But
dry
zero grams of fat.
Well, it's basically what the cheese and meat are for.
Yeah.
That's right. And high protein.
What?
I think. I don't know.
You think?
From
you know,
fish guts?
That
from what?
0.0 means not
no,
high
no.
Protein.
It was more than that. It was about 15 megagrams or milligrams.
Milligrams.
Whatever.
That's a milligram.
It's a megagram, fucker.
That's a milligram. Yeah. You know how many millis are in a gram? That would be 1,000.
How many megas are in a gram?
Did you know a snake is an animal?
No megas in a gram.
I think that I'm going to start following Campo Viejo on Instagram.
Why?
For more kaleidoscope art.
That's great.
So what you're saying you need more kaleidoscope art in your life?
Yeah.
Guess what you're getting for Christmas?
A kaleidoscope?
Several.
That and a light bright.
Making things with light.
Now, you mock this wine, but you're not done yet.
I really... Okay, so we were talking before. We have had so much pig slop lately. Like, truly horrible wine.
Yeah.
To the point where it's like... I have not even wanted to score them. And so every single episode we have, I get my hopes up that this is going to be some, like, treasure that you found.
You know, the Sasso Primitivo we had, Scott, that was really good. I don't know what she's talking about. Well, she wasn't on that. but we need the talent there. Would you like to hear a couple reviews?
I'm wanting to hear the talent comment.
Well,
starting the side eye.
Well, this wine.
You know what I'm going to do?
Hit him over the head with the bottle?
This.
Not quite fingers on the chalkboard. That's pretty good, though. I think that last slide, you got it.
I know. If you keep it up, I'm going to move myself in right underneath my microphone.
Uh-oh. People will love that. this wine has 2 reviews.
Okay, question.
Sure.
Are you only looking for the art series reviews or any of the Reserva ones?
This is just the Reserva. I don't think that they have a separate wine for art series. I don't think it's a different wine. It's the same wine, as far as I know.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, I think
it's
so, but who knows?
This is the Reserva with the stupid label. So this got...
At least it's not an animal.
This got a 91 from Tim Atkin.
Did he give it an award?
That's on the wine. That's on wine.com, man. Tim Atkin. I don't fucking know who he is.
On where?
Wine.com. T-A. God. Yeah. Tits and ass. Tim Atkin said tits and ass. I'm sorry. That's just terrible. Why did I say that? He said, it's good to see Rioja's largest winery making wines of this quality in substantial quantities.
Scott just Googled, who the fuck is Tim Atkin?
Yeah.
I just spit on myself. Okay, sorry. What did he say?
He said, it's good to see a winery like this making good wine in large quantities.
Oh, he has his own website.
I'm sure he does. Made from Tempranillo with 10% of Graciano and Mazzullo for structure and backbone and aged in a combination of French and American oak. Supple, strawberry, and raspberry fruit and balancing acidity.
When did he write that review?
I don't know. Didn't say.
His website hasn't been updated since 2017.
He's out of business.
Well, it's interesting because it's Tim Atkin, M.W., that means.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
But then look who wrote that article.
But it's by Ron Washam.
Who's that?
Apparently Tim Atkin. I don't know.
I wonder if he was, you know what his probably was? It was probably a corporate takeover by the penophile.
I was just going to say, do you think that's where he is?
That's where I watched his website.
Or do you think he took over the penophile?
Now he is the penophile.
Yeah. He does special reports by regions. Cost you $25.
I'm not spending that money.
So Tim Atkin is a British master of wine and an award-winning wine journalist, broadcaster, and commentator. He's also judges several international wine competitions and a photographer.
Wait a minute. He's on TV? Oh, what a twat that guy is. Jesus. That guy needs a wiffle ball to the nuts right there. That's what that guy. Why doesn't he button his shirt up?
It's cool, Rob.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's interesting. I'm on the Tim Atkin MW website, and one of the articles is Misunderstood Wines by Chris Wilson, and it shows a picture of Marmite.
That's not a wine.
I think not.
No, it is misunderstood. But speaking of misunderstood,
there's some sexist articles, too. One woman in a corkscrew.
Very
inappropriate. It's a Saturday night.
That is inappropriate. Yeah.
It is inappropriate.
And then I think he also sells guides to countries. Like, they're 20 pounds.
Yeah, that's it. It's, $25.
Oh, like a travel guide.
Like, no, region about wines.
No.
Yeah. So we'll do, like, France, South Africa, whatever.
Well, it's like an Encyclopedia Britannica.
Well.
It's exciting. I'm sure it'd be great. This is a picture of him in his douchey, spray tan and his unbuttoned shirt.
Here's an article actually by Tim Atkin.
Is it?
It's why consumers like Chenin Blanc more than Riesling. Who gives a fuck?
I was going to say, I think you guys might like him. He's widely respected for his amusing and often controversial presentation style.
Oh, I bet.
I think
you know what he probably does? He's like, my name is Tim Atkin.
No, I was going to say, I feel like he could be a friend of the show.
Well,
I'm pretty sure not anymore.
He has lectured to banks, firms of solicitors, singles evenings.
Singles evenings. Ladies night.
And numerous wine associations.
Wait a minute. Does he do those things where he goes into a house and he shows how to put a condom on a cucumber with his mouth? That's probably what it is. He has that talent.
Well, he does have some, maybe we are being a little bit
harsh. He also won the Robert Mondavi Award for the best set of theory papers in his Master of Wine examination, which he passed on the first attempt.
Wow.
Very nice.
Wow.
But so he's got an article about Zinfandel, and it says it starts no wimpy wines, and then the picture shows somebody's big muscle.
Oh, so weird.
Sangiovese, welcome to the home of the fiasco.
Maybe something's lost in the...
It has you, Clarice, a picture of you.
Okay.
I'm so excited. It is almost Silence of the Lambs time. We usually watch it like once a year around Halloween.
Mm. Interesting.
So good.
You'll have to that wait, Clarice.
Yeah.
Halloween is going to come not as soon this year.
You understand that's not in the movie and you just sound like you, which is not all that ironic. Yes. Another review for this
one. With a nice Chianti.
That doesn't sound
right. I was trying to find if he's married, but I think no.
No, of course not. His wife left him.
Can I tell you a story really quick about Rob and that voice?
What voice?
Which one? Which voice?
Hey, you don't know what pain is.
Silence of the Lambs voice. Okay.
Which
Silence
one?
Of the Lambs.
What's the guy's name? What's the main guy's name?
Hannibal Lecter.
Hello, Clarice. That wasn't voice. Very. Hello, so, Clarice.
We were at a retreat. We were at a church camp retreat.
Very tedious.
Okay.
That's it.
And somebody had wanted to play hide and go seek, so we did. And we're in this huge lodge with no lights on. It was scary as shit, okay? In the middle of nowhere. And then on each side are these two lofts with all these bunk beds and stuff. So I think I was the one finding.
Not very well, right? But yeah, you were.
So I walk up the stairs, and Rob, there's like a little landing behind me, like a little ledge. He's perched on the ledge on the stairs, Scott. And he goes like this to me. Hello, Becky.
Hello, Becky.
I screamed so loud. I honestly don't know the last time I've ever been so scared. And he was just sitting there like such a creep.
Hello, Becky. You're tedious, very tedious. And speaking of my voices, I've had to wait
Stop.
Long enough.
Stop. Oh, God. Okay.
I provided this wine as well a score. I gave it
The same score I give every wine I ever reviewed, and that is a
96.
92, right?
A 92. I gave it 92 of my points. And I said, an attractive, which Tim Atkins is, ripe, did I say that out loud? Oh no. Ripe cherry and plum style, with plenty of background, woody influence. The palate is smooth, honed, just like Tim Atkins. And has good depth and shape, just like his, never mind, drink or hold, which is what I tell everyone about me. Drink me or hold me.
And now, just to give you a little bit of reminder about Reserva and Spanish wine in general. And this is Rob the Wine Guy again. It's no longer someone else. You have four different levels. Okay.
It's good to have you back.
It is.
I know.
I've been gone a long time.
I just totally tune out when you do that voice. It freaks me out.
Mm-hmm. There's four quality levels within Rioja. You start off at the bottom with just Rioja, which is plunk. There's no oak in that. 1 to 2 aging, which bottle aging. They hold it back for 1 to 2 years before they release it. Very, very quick release, quick drink. That's what it is. Next level, you have Crianza. It's 1 year in oak, 1 year in bottle. Okay, so 1 year oak barrel aging, 1 year then bottle aging.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit better, but once again, not designed necessarily for aging, not designed for collecting. It's just kind of, you know, hey, it's okay. There are good Crianzas, not to say that there aren't, but it's more of your, what we expect our base level to be.
And so what would that price point be?
Anywhere from 10 to 20.
And Crianza level, you know, we don't always point out, look for the Crianza level, but cheap Spanish wines are usually damn good. And Crianza, if you get your hands on a cheap Crianza, don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Also, next level is this, well, supposedly this, the Reserva level. And that's 1 year in oak barrel aging. And then 2 years age in the bottle. So it's held back a little bit. Now, they think that Reservas are 25 years plus. And I'm looking at Wine Folly's little list here. Just, it's a very easy thing to look for.
She's great.
It's in a pyramid shape. Partly because more wines, less wines. And the last wine.
And what's that price range, would you say? I mean, I know this was
20 to 35.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
But we got this for 14?
I think that's what it costs.
Oh.
Not all Reservas are
equal.
There are some ones like, what was Proximo? Who the hell made Proximo? Somebody.
Torres? No.
No. But some of those wineries, they're just inexpensive. They're big production wineries. So they still, you could still be a Reserva if you just do 1 year in oak, 2 year in bottle.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's kind of the thing.
Okay.
Then lastly is Gran Reserva. That's 2 years in oak barrel, then 3 more years in bottle.
Okay.
The question is, can your wine stock hold up to doing that? And are you going to actually gain anything from doing it?
I was just going to say, it doesn't necessarily translate to the quality of the wine. It's just how long it's been aged.
Well, it's suggestive. Obviously, if you see Reserva, you should expect more from it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, is Spain as strict about their levels and labeling as
More or less. I mean, the problem
I see
is
it has like a flashy thing on the back. But
well, you got to remember. I mean, how many hours a day do they work?
About 2.
Yeah, so that's in that 2 hours they'll review. Sorry, Spain.
I think if you ask this,
I don't think you do.
Of a Frenchman, they would say differently. There's the whole controversy between the quality of Spanish wine versus French wine, and it's a bit of a controversy there. And
they would get into the conversation. It would go a little bit off for them, so then they would just give up on it. That's what would happen. So that's a World War II reference occasion.
Bad.
It's true, though. So here we go. I'm just all over it. I'm just like Tim Atkins. My presentation style is crazy.
This doesn't sound right, but the Proximo. Marquez de Riscal?
Yes, Marquez de Riscal.
Riscal.
Remember how you thought you confused Braveheart and Gladiator? That's what happens when you come to the show and you're drunk.
False memories.
And drunk.
I wasn't drunk.
You were extremely drunk.
I was inebriated.
Yeah, you were stone drunk. So, in
that
the glass.
That was the night I'd been out with
the superstar.
The superstar.
Are you sick?
No.
What is that sound you keep making?
It's called diphtheria.
Keep questioning him. It's a sound practice on your part. I think.
Feel fine. I feel fine. I'm just clearing my throat. It's mucus.
Alrighty. Where are you going to sleep tonight?
Where are you going to sleep tonight? Kiss my butt. So, in the glass, it actually looks good. It's a little bit darker and less translucent than I would expect. It's got a nice crimson dark hue. So, yep. I mean, once again, slightly translucent, but I expect that from Tempranillo.
Okay. It's really distracting sound. I'm having a hard time focusing.
I think that has nothing to do with your focusing problem. Let's just say. Yeah. Shiny thing. What?
I don't know if I was coughing. If I was coughing, Rob would be like, oh, Becky, seriously.
No, if you were doing this.
Oh, yeah. That is true. That is good. I do need to get some air in this wine.
That's true.
It's a rather nondescript nose.
It is a nondescript nose, but it's closed, I think.
I'm getting some
cassis.
Yeah.
Minerality of a general nature.
But it's mostly, it's just a mentholated alcohol.
There's a little tart blackberry buried back in there.
Okay.
You don't believe me.
If you want it to be.
Negative there. Nancy.
I can smell a little bit of oaking in it. Can you turn this music down? I can't think.
Once again, it has little to do with the music. Dean Martin distracts her, as it should.
Something that I was going to say, something that Rob likes to do a lot when we're hanging out, is give me a wine and make me guess where it's from.
That's true. I would guess this is from Rioja.
Of course, it's because you opened the bottle and poured it.
Right. I was just going to say Tempranillo usually throws me.
Well,
because the nose is not similar to other noses. I love the smell of this.
We hit it on that blind tasting episode.
We did?
Yeah. It wasn't our first choice, but it was one of the possible six choices.
Yeah,
two choices, actually.
That's right. I know, and I need to think about that more when Rob's trying to throw me and I can't place what it is. I need to train my mind to go to Spain.
Well,
or just with your first thought. That was the first thought out of my mind.
Mm-hmm. Tempranillo can be different things.
And
that's why Elena loves it.
I think in that way, it's similar to Zinfandel in that Zinfandel can take on different appearances.
Well, it doesn't taste like Zinfandel.
But I don't think Tempranillo is as versatile in expressing those different characters as Zinfandel is. But if it's not the second most versatile for single varietal for expressing different things, being different styles, Sangiovese maybe number two,
Mostro,
Grenache, no,
oh definitely Grenache.
Grenache is Grenache.
It's the fifth or sixth. I agree. Good job. So let's drink.
I think Tempranillo is far more versatile than Grenache.
You know, this is the thing about Tempranillo. In the glass, it looks always a little bit translucent. But when you drink it, they tend to be bigger wines. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a big, medium body. But it has a wet dog finish to it, doesn't it, Scott? I just realized that. I'm sitting there thinking, what is that?
Wet dog finish? What's that mean?
There's a little...
I thought I liked it. And then I'm like, what is that?
There's a little acrid oak thing going on in the finish.
Yeah. I'm so surprised I can't get that at all. And normally I'm like...
Think sour oak.
I've never had a wine that I liked. And then I went... Fuck is that? Yeah, it's
that's happened to me plenty of times where I've had like a physical reaction to the oak at the end when it like curls back around on you.
Let's see if that calms down a little bit.
What is wrong with you?
No. Sorry. Oh, I've got troubles, folks.
Yeah.
I swallowed it a little quicker than I thought it was, and it went down the windpipe.
It's always a problem.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Whoops.
Timmy Atkins. Yeah, here we go.
He does it every time.
Oh.
Just kind of sneaks nice up on you.
You know, when it gags
you. We're trying to have a wine show, Rob. Could you take your noise somewhere else?
Shove it up your butt.
Ow. That went downhill fast.
Hmm. Tobacco in the mid palate now.
Yeah. It has to jump off what Becky said, it does have a nice tannic backbone.
Mm-hmm. It does. It's not wet dog right now. It's staying away from the wet dog. That's good. I don't know what that was. That might have actually been, I just ate a piece of cheese, and I think whichever piece of cheese I ate does not go well with this wine. Let's just say that.
I think there's a little tinge of sour oak
there. A slight tinge,
and
yeah.
I think that's what you were referencing to.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if this opens up, if that completely dissipates.
It might be.
How long has this been decanted?
Oh, what time is it? Oh, hour and 15 to... No, hour and a half.
Well...
Yeah, it should be fine.
Any little funkiness should be out of there.
You know, it's not all that different than the Proximo was, to a certain extent. The Proximo, though, was a little more mineral-driven. Because we liked it and Steve hated it. Mm. Although you would have liked a frickin' licking a cardboard box that night. That didn't really make a difference to you. But still.
I love cardboard. Particularly like pizza box cardboard.
Yeah. Well, that is good.
Pepperoni pizzas.
Yeah, that's point well taken. You know.
When the grease kind of sits on top of the little
cardboard. I'm glad that you wore a hat tonight that you could put your headphones over. That was good.
Yeah, well.
It was so sad when you were so depressed.
I was so depressed.
Put it over your hat.
I'm just glad we weren't on YouTube.
You're like, it doesn't fit over my hat.
Didn't even think about it for a second.
Well, I think it's the time of the hour where we each state a characteristic of the wine. We'll start off with the triple B.
Okay, it's medium-bodied.
I guess I left that open, didn't I? Yes, I said.
You said a characteristic.
I agree. I did that. I should have been more specific.
What did you do with this? Oh, shit.
Ew.
I know, gross.
I'd throw that away if I were you.
The cassis
I'm trying to figure out
is
what
there.
To do with it.
The cassis that you had on the nose, it is there. There's a little hinge of cassis on the front to mid palate transition.
Yeah, it's not your big ripe version of the cassis that we normally attribute to it, but it might be that cat urine cassis Becky talked about that one time.
Ooh.
No, it's not.
Let it go, Rob.
No.
Let it go.
Oh, you were going to just want to sing that song.
You can't ever let anything go.
No.
Well.
Oh, the tobacco mid-palate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tannins.
Yeah, it's the tannin backbone, sure. And
the tannins are a treat. I really.
Oh, it does have a good tannin.
Mm-hmm.
Very good tannin.
I am. Sour oak is still there a little bit. Just a tinge. It's a little bit of a flaw here.
And with that, I'll also point out it has a bit of blueberry.
With the sour oaking, I will also point out the blueberry.
Yes, I will.
Yeah.
You know, it's an underripe blueberry. Yeah, what you got? Boom. Boom.
As I'm drinking this, I'm trying to find, like, any of the olive that I see. I know that you see in Spanish wines, and I'm not getting it.
I don't think it's old enough to show that.
Mm-mm. Oh.
It's just not there.
No.
Hey. I want it to be there.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it would be kind of nice.
I know. I've tried to find it like 3 or 4 times, but it's not there.
Well, the Tempranillos we normally experience with olive would be like a 15-year-old Numanthia. And that's going to show black olive, but this one, it's just not old enough yet. This is a current release of this because of the reserva level. So it just isn't going to show it.
Just flashes in and out. As soon as it hits your palate, a little strawberry.
Yes, absolutely strawberry.
A hint of strawberry, like essence of strawberry.
One of the reviews mentioned strawberry.
Okay.
My man, I just remember
that. I was laughing hysterically.
Well, yeah. But no, you're right. A lot of it, I mean, think about that. The tartness all the way through it is a strawberry tartness. Yeah. It's very good.
Yeah. Wow.
It's very impressive.
Balance.
Maybe you should be Scott File MD or MB. MB.
MW.
MW. Yeah. You're MB. Don't ask me what it stands for.
I know. I was just going to say that. Please don't. please don't.
Yeah.
I think I'm kind of out on what I can taste.
There is a slight mocha that kind of it's from a lot of different things.
I was going to say chocolate.
Well,
be my next
it
one.
Doesn't Mocha quite.
Chocolate.
It doesn't quite. I was on that verge, but it doesn't quite go that. First of all, it's a baker's chocolate, a bittersweet chocolate, but it's not quite creamy enough to go quite there. And the tannin. Jesus. The tannin, then, or where you bring in that dustiness from the mocha. So, but there's several things going on there, really, at the price range. It's not bad. That's not bad, folks. So. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault?
I know the Unlicensed does.
Well, that's great. Do you know how you can get that done? Do you know the one way the world can find out about the Wine Vault?
What way is that, Rob?
Giving us a review on iTunes. So, take the time. Give us that 5-star or whatever. Let us know. Let the world know that you love the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. On tonight's potpourri, folks.
Okay.
I just came back very quickly, though, didn't
so
I?
Nervous.
I didn't even say welcome back, but I just wanted to jump into it.
Welcome back, folks.
We're going to do something different.
I'm welcoming.
And I don't know if everyone will like it, but we'll try it. If we don't like it, we won't do it again. Or we'll do it every time.
I like it. Hey, Mikey.
I am going to provide
Uh-oh.
Both the Triple B and the Unlicensed.
It's always ominous when he says provide.
I'm going to hate it.
Provide. A wine region. Okay?
Okay.
And then they are going to tell me why they think it's better than the other person's wine region.
Oh, interesting.
I'm terrible at wine regions. This is not even close to being my forte.
I don't mean AVAs. You can go like New Zealand. You could go whatever. Triple B will pick first, since she's the lady of any place in the world she wishes to defend the honor of, and then the Unlicensed can pick his, and then I will decide who wins. But
will you give us 4 to choose from?
You can choose anything. Oh, because you can't think of anything on top of your head.
No, here. I know I'm debating between 2, but I want you to pick 4 and then we can pick from them.
All right, that's fine. I'm going to pick a few places.
Okay.
The Russian River Valley in California.
Mm-hmm.
I will say Beaujolais in France. I will say Argentina in as a whole. And then Columbia Valley in Washington.
Oh. I'm going to pick Columbia Valley. I feel like
damn it's
easiest. And that's what Scott wanted.
Oh, well, shit, that's what I wanted.
It's very
it's also
shrewd. You do get points for taking Scott down a rung, too.
What's the wine we just drank from there?
North Star. And Scott?
How much time do we get to do research?
It's not about research. It's from the heart. It's emotions.
What are you picking?
From the heart. Oh, I'm taking Russian River Valley. Mm. Beaujolais.
Well, you can choose it if you want. And you ain't going to win, but... Oh, you might win for me, because I love Beaujolais. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I made fun of a woman one time that said... Well, a woman. I made fun of someone. Sometimes she happened to be a woman, because she said she liked Gamay, and I like it too. So, yeah, whatever.
Wait, what?
It was wrong. Somebody that you listened to was on a podcast or whatever. She just said how much she liked Gamay. Now I made fun of her. But then again, I make fun of everybody. So.
Did he say that weird?
He is weird.
I don't know.
He made fun of the ladies that gave us that Gamay sparkler. And then he loved it. So Russian River Valley is superior to Columbia.
Okay.
This isn't about her. You make the points for the Russian River. Not the,
oh no, this is this. It's on. Okay. You set up the game.
All right,
we have to play it.
I'm about ready to give you a point or not a point. Okay, here we go.
On the show, we've loved Sonoma County. We've loved Sonoma. We love Russian River Valley.
Yes, but you can only focus on Russian River, not Sonoma as a whole.
Listen, you name the game. I can play it however I want.
All right, so you just got minus one. Okay, go ahead.
How dare you?
I can...
You get minus one for your cell phone. Minus two. Okay. Go ahead, Scott. I'm not going to do that. Go ahead.
Pinot Noir.
What about it?
Zinfandel.
Okay. He's naming wines that are there.
It's a great region. We love Russian River Valley.
But why is it great? Why do we love it?
The depth of character that arises from this region.
Am I allowed to make counterpoints as he's going? Well, like, I'm
quieted.
Well, as soon as he bores me, yes, I'll let you do that. But go ahead, keep on going. I'm looking for something.
I'm looking for something. Kenwood, Sonoma County. That's all I got for you.
Kenwood, Sonoma County.
Ravenswood, Sonoma County.
All right. That was well done, Scott.
Yeah, terrible.
You're really good at this.
I'm not good at this.
Okay. Well, I should have had one of the cats sit in for you and just meow. I was looking for elegance yet potency in wines. That's one thing. Alcohol levels on Zinfandels are sky high, but yet they restrain them because of the power and the richness of the wine. Now to the triple B.
In the Ravenswood Sonoma County series is representative of those characteristics.
And
exactly.
None of them have an AVA from
Columbia Valley. Is similar, but maybe even more diverse than some of our California friends. Where they can do Chardonnay, Merlot, Riesling.
I don't know. That's not true. So
Cab.
Yeah, there you go.
What am I missing? Syrah.
Syrah, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's five
points.
Yeah,
that's okay. Very good.
I'll let you counterpoint.
I feel like Columbia Valley is elite.
Yes.
I would say that... If you are looking for something that is really a huge red wine,
mm-hmm.
you could go to Columbia Valley and not be disappointed. Mm-hmm. I think that we have had some really nice Columbia Valley reds. There are some that are so elite, like Casilla Creek,
that we can't even get on the list to buy.
Actually, we're on the waiting list to buy.
I'm not on the waiting list to buy. I'm on the Triple B allows me to spend $250 on a bottle of wine list. But I get offered it all the time.
Okay. Anyways, so, it's extremely elite, mm-hmm. elite, elite, elite. And I think when you are a beginning wine person, you know about Napa. Sure. Everyone knows about it.
But when you really start to get into your wine knowledge and you know Columbia Valley, I feel like that's someone that's maybe, right? You're a little bit more knowledgeable. Anybody could have picked the Russian River Valley
Becky,
to defend.
Becky, you're making Scott feel bad, okay?
Not at all.
But then the last thing that I'm going to say, the only fault that I have, which I have gone on and on and on about.
Uh-huh.
Is I do think in the U.S., in Washington, mm-hmm. in Columbia Valley, mm-hmm. you need to protect what you make, and you need to label yourself accordingly to what you make. So if you make your wine in Columbia Valley, you get to say you make your wine. You can't grow it and then ship it somewhere else. You can't grow it here and there in two different counties.
That's at least minus 20 points right there.
At least I'm owning what's going on.
Well, she's talking about her personal feelings about it.
My personal feelings about it. Because Columbia Valley is elite, and it is, it's just very, very top tier, and I think they need to protect that status instead of letting other people put that on their wine labels.
That's well spoke. Well done. Well, first of all, let's see what this is going to be.
Columbia Valley is the largest wine region in Washington. It's not necessarily elite, it's just large. There are some elite sections inside of Columbia Creek. But
Valley, doesn't even have anything to say about his own.
Did you know
he doesn't, because he doesn't know anything about it.
He's just choosing to attack.
Speaking of making wine and bottling it, mislabeling it, were you aware that part of Columbia Valley is actually in Oregon? And we know what happens with Oregon wines, Joe Wagner.
No, we don't.
I'm questioning the whole validity of this argument.
That's great. Good job.
It is.
What do you have to say about your Russian River Valley that you so butchered earlier? I'm sorry. I'm impartial. Go ahead.
No. Yeah, you're impartial.
I'm going to eat a piece of pork belly while you talk. Go ahead.
I got an
Russian River Valley is a much smaller AVA. Mm-hmm. Okay. Also having elite of elite.
Okay, name a few.
I don't know any.
But they're there.
But they're there.
Elite Russian River Valley winners.
That's what I'm Googling. 16 Martinelli. Russian River Pinots that will set you back. But to I've got it.
Mary Edwards.
What would the Pinophile think?
Jeez.
Can we? I'd like to interview the Pinophile right now.
What do you want? I don't know any.
What do you want, Scott?
Pinophile.
Why?
Could you share with us some of the wonderful Pinots that are available in Russian River Valley?
You can't look them up on your iPad. There are many good Pinots in Russian River Valley. Very good. Why, you can't find them? Mary Edwards? You can't find her? No, you can't find her.
Can't find her.
You don't know any. Okay. So, Scott, you've done very well.
Martin Ray Winery.
It's not. What? No, Scott, no. Yes. That's no. They have a Sonoma County. They don't have a Russian River.
I am disappointed in you, Scott, because the Russian River Valley is an excellent wine region.
And that's not known for
Dutton Ranch.
Okay, Dutton Ranch. Dutton Ranch. That's a vineyard.
Yeah.
Not a winery.
There you go. Duckhorn Wine Shop.
Duckhorn. First of all, Duckhorn Gordon Goldeneye is made in Anderson Valley.
Oh, very nice.
So that's not the Russian delicious. River. But try again. Oh, Jesus. I just gave you Martinelli.
I went to Columbia Valley.
I could have done a lot more with Russian River Valley.
Yeah, you could have. Yeah.
So, no, something that I... Yeah, but you have your iPad.
I just know Google it.
Did you?
Yeah. I was trying to go
through my head. He has three tabs open. Russian River Valley.
Mostly Columbia Valley.
Columbia Valley.
Did he Google where is Russian River Valley?
No, I know it's Sonoma.
Okay. You know it's in California, right?
Mostly in California.
It's entirely in California.
No. Not according to the current administration. That was a fun
Something giggle. Else that I would say about Russian River Valley.
Thank you.
I feel like a lot of wine growing regions are
gorgeous just because they're so natural and just really, really beautiful, like rolling hills.
Yeah.
Russian River Valley, I think, takes it to the next level because it has like a rustic, picturesque beauty about it.
In fairness, so that's not fair to Scott because he's never been there and you
I've
have.
I've never been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. That was fun. That was fun for me.
No, I would have picked Columbia Valley.
You would have, and you would have lost at that, too.
No, because the only one I knew was Casilla Creek.
Good job. And you would have forgot it. I should make you do Gamay. Beaujolais. Oh, Scott's going to do Beaujolais next time.
I thought he was going to pick George
DeBoer. And make you do Argentina.
I could have done Argentina.
I couldn't do Argentina.
You know what? You would have gotten points for trying to do Beaujolais.
The only one that I couldn't have done was Beaujolais, but I could have done the other three fine.
That's true. I do believe you could have.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, some people can't.
I couldn't.
So
I should have gone Argentina.
I know.
But I lost, but it would have been fun.
What would you have said about Argentina?
Malbecs suck.
Would you have gotten the fact it's in South America?
You know what I would say about Maybe. Argentinian Malbecs?
Yes, go ahead.
Not great, but their PR campaign where people can say that they only drink Argentinian Malbecs with a straight face.
Well, is that a PR campaign?
It's kind of twisted. It might induce epileptic seizures.
I think it is mind-blowing that you can say that that's what... You know what I mean? They've done an amazing job. I've heard that so many times from people. I only drink Argentinian Malbecs. Good for you. Good for Argentina for doing that.
Hmm.
I would say Lionel Messi, Gabriel Batistuta.
Soccer players.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, he's...
I remember that Lionel Messi Malbec we had. That was delicious.
Which one?
The Lionel Messi one we had.
Oh, yeah. That was great. Yeah. So, folks, Triple B wins the first round of the Battle of the Minds. It's not trivia. It's Battle of the Minds. It's like an essay conversation. Who's that?
Scott. His Googling. Who the fuck is Don?
Well, I won that one.
That was the best.
Well, next time it might be wine personalities. You're going to defend them.
Oh, please.
The penophile.
Yes, I love him.
You're gonna get James Suckling. That's right.
God. That's right. Drink me or Stop. Hold me.
Here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. Scott off the air asked me where Steve Bodhi was, and I had to explain to Scott that Steve Bodhi is off fucking himself. So I told him to enough.
That reference is lost on the listeners. It's been so long.
What, that I told Steve Bodhi to go fuck himself?
Yeah, it is. You know. It's been a long time.
Well, Steve Bodhi, go fuck yourself. Campo Vieja, or Viejo, even that too. Campo Viejo, their Rioja artist series, even though it's the same damn thing, and their Reserva. If you can butcher a name of a wine better than that, folks, please email and tell us that. My God, I think you figured out what we're drinking. Campo Viejo Reserva art series from Rioja in Spain. Here we go. That
was yes, much it's better. Our first bottle of the evening.
It is. That was just more brain damage. Yeah, so brain I had to listen to you explain. Scott, I didn't name a winery in Rush River. I don't know.
I blank. That was Dude, really I blank. All I could
it
think
is hard.
Of.
I get it. I
all
get
I
it.
Could think of was that Russian River Cab, and I still can't remember who made it.
Nobody, because they don't make Russian River Cab. But you're doing
it. That's it. That's why.
Jesus.
I was searching for something that wasn't there. False wine? Memories.
It's just, Scott is like an onion. You keep peeling back the layers, you find something even more special.
Yeah.
You could have made the.
I didn't have anything. I went down a rabbit hole I didn't have.
Didn't you?
You could have made the elitist argument about Russian River Valley, I think.
What's the elitist argument?
That I made about Columbia Valley. Like, people know Napa, people know Sonoma, but nobody knows. You have to know wine to know Russian River Valley.
Yeah, but you don't have to know wine to know Columbia Valley. Becky, it's the biggest winemaking region in the
U.S. You have to know wine to know Russian River Valley. Well, come on now. You know.
I couldn't think of one. I know we've done them on the show. I couldn't think of one.
Strong performance.
I couldn't think of the Pinots. I couldn't think of anything.
Could you? What about the Zinfandels?
Or Chardonnay. All I had. And like throughout Kenwood. I just was down the rabbit hole.
Well, they have a Russian River Pinot. It tastes like shit, but they got one.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. Rodney Strong. There you go.
I was.
Acorn.
I thought we had a Rodney Strong cab.
Yes.
Wrong.
From Sonoma County.
From Sonoma County.
But not.
Not Russian.
No. Scott, you just worry about being pretty. So.
No.
We're going to go around the room. We're going to get a review of the Campo Viejo. And maybe even the Vieja.
Damn it, son.
Yes. Do you want some more, Scott? You need more.
The sour oak is back.
I stopped drinking it. I don't know what it tastes like now.
So, I had really high hopes for this wine. I'm a little bit having... I don't get the sour oak that you all do, but I am, I don't know. I feel very conflicted about what to score this wine. I'm going with an 86. There are some flavors and dimensions to it. The tannins are very nice, but there is just something about this wine I do not love. I don't get the sour oak. I think for me, I know what a Tempranillo can be, like how much better it can be. And so I feel like it's almost like, this sounds so dumb, but not living up to its potential.
It could be Protocolo. Remember that? Ugh. That was really damn good.
But yeah, so I'm like, this has some stuff, sure. It has some tannin, sure. But it's just not, it's not great. It's fine. Nothing is wrong with it. I don't get the sour oak, but it just could be a lot more.
Yeah, I'm the same. That's my number exactly, 86. If it wasn't for the sour oak, I would like this and say it's an easy drink, but it keeps popping back in there. It had calmed down significantly, but that first mouthful, it was like, man, this is good. And then it's like Rob said, it just went.
Yeah, but that was really a fun experience.
It was,
and I haven't had that since then. And I think that was actually a combination of the cheese that was in.
So off air, we were talking about one of us had a glass of wine and had soap in the glass. It hadn't been clean and had soap, and it was almost that profound of bad taste, that first one. And the sour oak kind of danced in and danced out, and right now it's prominently there. It's just not. It's not a terminal flaw, but it's something that keeps it from being recommended. I wouldn't recommend this. If it doesn't have that little bit of sour oak, it's an easy drink. It would be an easy drinker, but it's like,
I don't think that it's, first of all, Scott,
it's not, it's just okay.
Well, I'm going to give it an 85, but I'm not going to say I don't think this is an unrecommended wine. The problem I have with it is, and I don't get, the sour oak isn't as prominent actually anymore. And quite frankly, on the front palate, it's getting jazzier. A little bit more like a Horse Heaven Red Blend type thing. It has some interesting properties there. And I think that it could be pleasing and could give people a little bit of an introductory taste into some Spanish wine. Reserva, well, not all Reservas are created equal, as we found out. And that's not the only one. I mean, like Lan, L-A-N, their Reserva. Mm. You know, this is better than that. This is a particularly competent wine. I do happen to like the tannin. I do see some redeeming qualities there. My question is, I'm not going to buy it, though, and you know, because there's no reason to. That's the next thing. It's not that it's a bad wine. It's one of these wines, though, that we get down to the fact of, is it exciting or special in some fashion that makes me want to buy it a second time? And none of those things exist here. That doesn't mean that someone else shouldn't buy it, but there are some other wines that I think you should try before this, and then buy them a second time, a third time, a ninth time, and you're probably never going to get to this wine because it's down the list a little bit.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know how you take that. I don't know where you quantify that, because it's not a bad wine. If you bought it and you drank it, most people, if they drank Spanish wine, well, that's the thing, though. It's a little bit jazzy on the front palate now, and I don't know that all people would are going to associate that with a regular Tempranillo.
Well, it's just, I think you said it there. You wouldn't buy this. If you're out and you see this, particularly with the kaleidoscope, what if you saw the kaleidoscope label looking through a kaleidoscope?
That's true. It would look normal, I suppose.
Maybe.
I like it to a certain degree. I mean, it does have pleasing characteristics. The fruit is okay. The tannin is good.
Yeah, it's got good tannin.
The body is decent. The mouthfeel is okay. You know it's a Tempranillo. It tastes like a Tempranillo. Yep. Yeah, this is an 86, actually, now I think about it. Because it does have a little bit of a jazziness apart from being a Tempranillo. 86 all day long. Score, though, I think if we go around the room and give a bracket, it might be a little bit different. I might go 85, 87.
That's exactly what I would do.
You won't do that, though, will you? 80, 46?
Maybe.
Okay, that's fair.
85, 87, whatever. It just the bit of sour oak keeps me from scoring a little higher, and it still keeps me from not recommending it. Now, question I have, is it possible that this is a skunked bottle and that's the sour oak, that it's sat too long?
No.
I don't think so.
This is not a skunked bottle. I also don't think that it's, the oak isn't as bad. The Triple B would know if it was bad. She hates oak.
Right, I get it.
Now, it's not, I get where you're coming from, and perhaps you're a little more sensitive to it than I have. I am, because I get where you're referring to. On the finish, there is a residual oakiness to it, and it ain't toast.
No.
It's just a little bit, not off kilter, but just a little bit acidic and tart. And that, you know, but we've had so many that taste like stomach acid. This doesn't go
this
near that.
This isn't anything like that.
No.
Right.
Now, the first mouthful, and maybe it was just sticker shock, it popped into the finish. You know, we're having this nice finish, we're both like, we really like this. Yeah, this is nice. This is, whoa, what's that?
Yeah, it did come off weird. Yeah,
and I don't think it was the cheese, bro. I think this is what it is.
You just need to blow off. Maybe it could be. I don't know.
The other thing that I've been thinking about a lot is when you have a Tempranillo, sometimes you get some like really unique flavors.
Could be.
But you know what we all said? Fruit, tannin, oak.
It
could have just been any. It could have been a Zin. It could have been a Cab. It could have been anything. And that bothers me because Tempranillos, I feel like, are so unique. And like when you drink one, you're like, oh, what's this flavor? Oh, what's this? I didn't have any of that feeling. Yeah, in this.
Well, but it does taste like a Tempranillo. Though.
Yeah. It does. It just is so it's so.
Oh, like, it's a derivative wine.
You know what else is gone, man? That tobacco's gone.
Well, it is, actually. You're right.
Yeah. So it's unremarkable to me. I mean, it's fine. It's totally fine. I will forget this wine.
It's bland.
I will forget it.
That's what I'm saying. You never would get around to picking it on a Friday night. You just wouldn't. No. And you're not. If it were $8.99, maybe you would.
Sure.
$9.99, maybe you would. $10.99, but not $14 or $17,
whatever it really is. I mean,
you're never going to buy it up there. I mean, but yeah, if this was $9.99, yeah, you might spring on this once in a while, but you're not going to at this price range. So,
it's disappointing.
You know what it's
called?
Had
the Crianza series, and it is a lower price wine, and it's usually pretty decent.
And its recommendation will be meh. I think it's a meh. That's what it is. It's a meh. Yep. So
wine.com actually $13.99.
Yeah, well, still.
We're not buying it.
I think I'd rather have the base.
It's both. Meh. Mm-hmm. No. I'm buying Protocolo. That's what I'm buying.
For sure.
And by the way, James Suckling, a 92?
Did he really give it a 92, or did you just say that?
I did. I give all Spanish wines a 92 of my points.
Really?
And Tim Atkins, put a shirt on.
Yeah, do something.
And stop with a spray tan. Mm-hmm. You gooch. So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu and see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night.